You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to the Voice of the Vic podcast with me, Ben Ayton. Mike Duffy will be joining very shortly, so I'm not on my own tonight to do the preview. And we also have James here from the Wednesday Till I Die podcast to give us a preview of our upcoming game with Sheffield Wednesday tomorrow evening at Hillsborough. It's the first time Watford have played Sheffield Wednesday, obviously, since Danny Rowles first game in charge. So we're going to find out how that's all gone for Sheffield Wednesday. And yeah, we'll just take a look forward to tomorrow's game. But yeah, like I say, I've got James here on board with me. His second appearance on the Voice of the Vic this season. Firstly, James, thank you for coming back and accepting our invitation to come back on. It couldn't have gone too bad last time if you've came back on. Firstly, how are you? And you looking forward to tomorrow night?
Yeah, thanks for having me back on, Ben. Do really appreciate it. Yeah, I always look forward to any game of football. You know, Hillsborough on a midweek under the lights. You know, there's nothing better than that. So, yeah, quietly looking forward to tomorrow's game, and looking forward to talking about it.
Yeah, it's quite ironic that Watford's actually travelling to Sheffield Wednesday on a Wednesday as well. And before we move on, I imagine your favourite day of the week's Wednesday as well.
It's got to be, surely. Sure. Thing is, it's ironic for you, but we always play on a Wednesday in midweek. So for us, yeah, pretty much. Oh, I don't know if it's a thing, but we tend to play all our games. You know, very rarely are we on a Tuesday night. It is mainly on a Wednesday.
Oh, I never knew that. I'm going to look out for all your fixtures going forward now when it's a midweek game, just to see how it all turns out. But no, that's interesting. So, yeah, as I mentioned at the start, Watford played you earlier on in the season. Watford narrowly won it 1-0 with a Yasso Spree strike. I think there was a penalty overturned in that game as well. Sheffield Wednesday was awarded a penalty, and it was referee gave it, but the lino overruled it. And then I think 10, 15 minutes later, Watford went 1-0 up and narrowly won, and it was a tough game for Watford, if I'm totally honest. We didn't really know what to expect. I don't think you knew what to expect either, because Danny Rowe was appointed manager during the week. Since that game, James, how has it been under Danny Rowe?
100 times better. I mean, it wasn't going to be difficult, was it, to be any better than what Cisco Munoz was? If you remember rightly as well, we hadn't won a game you know, by the time we played yet, all season. Obviously, I think that was the 12th game of the season, I want to say, because Cisco was sacked after 10. Then we played Huddersfield, and then it was yourself. Like I said, it was Danny Rill's first game in charge. We had to wait another two games until we got his first win, that game against Rotherham. But finally got that monkey off his back because, there were times where I thought that, you know, how long is it going to be until we get this this first win of the season? But no, he's kind of galvanised the troops, let's say, because, you know, obviously we're in the January transfer window at the moment, but the players that he's got is exactly the same team that Cisco Munoz had to choose from. So there's no difference there. The only one difference is he's brought Bailey Cadamartri and he's come through the youth setup. Obviously he was still a player, you know, at the time when Cisco was there. It's just he's been given a chance under Danny Rill. I think the main thing that's changed is he's given the team the belief that they can do it. They were shot of all confidence. They had no confidence whatsoever, in the opening, 10, 11 games of the season. And he's just come in and shown them that they can do it. I think fitness-wise, they're a lot fitter. Just a shame that he's had to do that kind of in the middle of the season. And when you've got games coming thick and fast, it's not easy. So we have struggled in some games. But you can certainly see, certainly in recent weeks, that, you know, they're playing up until the 90 minutes, whereas they were getting to 60 minutes under Danny Rill when Danny Rill first came in. He just couldn't do what he was trying to get him to do. You know, we play much more on the front foot. We like to press players and press teams, especially when they try and play out from the back. You know, we'll hurry them up and, you know, try and win the ball in the final third rather than doing what we were doing in the early parts of the season, which is just retreating back and just letting teams, you know, walk all over us. So, all in all, it has been very refreshing. I mean, it's not just Danny Rill either. You know, it's we've got Chris Powell in the backroom staff, which, to be fair, cool. you'd be happy to have him as a manager, let alone in the backroom staff. Henrik Pedersen, who was a manager before, he's coming as the assistant. So when you look at the people that have come in and where they've come from, they've got a good pedigree, and yeah, it's just the outlook is a lot better than what it was under Cisco Munoz. And you know, we're starting to pick up some wins now. We had three wins on the bounce, including the cup as well. We have gone three without a win, but we have played, you know, Southampton and Coventry twice, although we are going to play them again as well, so four times in the space of about 6 weeks or whatever it is. Sick of playing them, to be perfectly honest. But no, it's been great. It's just a shame that we're currently sat, what, 23rd in the league and still 6 points adrift of safety at the moment.
Yeah, 23rd in the league, but like you say, 6 points behind Huddersfield now, who have recently obviously changed their manager. Your former manager, Darren Moore, getting the sack on Monday after the Huddersfield owner 3 weeks ago said that he weren't going anywhere. But that owner seems ridiculous. We'll get onto your owner soon. Don't worry, you're not got away scot-free. But yeah, it seems like, yeah, Danny Rowe's got a decent backroom staff behind him. Like you say, a lot of experience there, and that's probably what he needs in his first managerial job, isn't it, to help guide him along the way? And do you think that's probably helped him so far to adjust to maybe English football?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, let's remember that he was at Southampton as an assistant manager under Hasenhüttl, so it's not his first foray into England. He has been here before. Yeah. Obviously, it's his first managerial job, at being the front man, so to speak. So yeah, I mean, having that experience behind him, I think he's kind of gone about it the right way as well. You know, both the two that I've mentioned, Pedersen and Chris Powell, have been managers before, so they know what it's like. He has spoken out how, you know, he is approachable, but Pedersen is more of the middleman, and Chris Powell as well, in terms of, you know, they're more hands-on with the players and they can, you know, relay the information across. But quite a lot of the players, especially Josh Windass, who spoke out a couple of weeks ago in a pre-match press conference, saying that they're all delivering the same message, whether you speak to, you know, one or the other or all of them. They're all saying the same thing and they're all singing from the same hymn sheet, which obviously helps as well. And it's very much into the analytics sides of football, you know, your XGs and things like that. And you can, well, I don't know this for certain, but you can probably tell that, you know, he's, even though the results might not have gone our way, he's saying that, you know, look, nine times out of 10, we'd have won that game. I know the game's not played on paper, but it kind of feels like it is at the moment, especially in this day and age. And we've seen that we didn't quite get the results early on, but the signs were there. And then now, obviously, we're starting to reap the rewards. And, you know, you see Chris Powell singing along to Hi-Ho, Silver Lining. Look, I know that don't get you 3 points, but
yeah,
they've just all fully bought into the football club. Danny Rule as well, you know, interacting with the fans and stuff. And as a fan, that's just what you want. We didn't get that with Cisco Munoz. He kind of alienated himself. I know things weren't going right, but if you can have that bond with the fans, when things and results don't go our way, it does buy you a little bit of time and does buy you a bit of leeway. And I've never seen the Sheffield Wednesday fan base take to a manager as quickly as what we've done with Danny Rule. It's fantastic. Everyone's chanting his name and everything. And, you know, it's mad when you look at it and think, you know, you'd think that the way that the mood is, you'd think we were, you know, in the top six getting into the playoffs if you didn't know where we actually were. It's mad.
No, it's nice to see that you've actually built that connection between the fan base and the manager, because obviously it was so split with Cisco Munoz, and you spoke about him before in your previous podcast saying how terrible it was under him, and I think 3 points he managed to achieve in his spell at Hillsborough, which is just horrific. But Danny Rose is definitely giving you that belief. He's galvanised the troops. I know it might be a difficult question to answer, but 6 points behind Huddersfield now. You've obviously probably got them looking dangerously behind them now, thinking Sheffield Wednesday are on the up now, even QPR as well, thinking we really need to pick up results because Sheffield Wednesday are on a good run of form lately. Do you think that you've got enough to stay up this season?
Well, I've got to say yes, Anna, surely. You know, it's one of those where obviously we've got you on, you know, on Wednesday tomorrow. We actually play Huddersfield on Saturday, which is a massive game. It's at their place. Mm. So, you know, if results can go our way tomorrow, the gap could be 3. Come 5 o'clock on Saturday evening, we could be level with Huddersfield.
Wow. Look,
even if, you know, even if we lose tomorrow against yourselves, the gap could be 3, and we're in striking distance of Huddersfield if we can manage to beat them on Saturday. So, yeah, there's a lot of football left. They played QPR in their last game, I think at the weekend. They didn't have an FA Cup fixture. They was winning. I think they scored in the 85th minute, and at that point the gap would have been 8 points. And you're thinking, you know, it could be a total different story there. Even though the fact that we are playing them, you know, at the following weekend, their next game. But then they conceded a 95th minute equaliser, I think it was, against QPR. So the gap's then 6. That's obviously a massive sucker punch. Then they've sacked the manager as well. Yeah. So, you know, even though it's only one goal and 2 points, the landscape changes. And, you know, by the time we're playing, like I said, if things go our way tomorrow night, then, yeah, you never know. And it's just crazy how one game can change things. Similarly, if things don't go our way, you know, and we lose the next two games, it could be good night at Vienna, because then it would be 9 points. We're not playing them again, you know, until, well, at all this season. And then, you know, that could be a bit of a mountain that we can't get over. But, you know, I think when you look at the team that we've got, obviously the January transfer window is still open. I know it shuts the day after we play each other, you know. These rumours that we're perhaps bringing a striker in from the MLS. I don't know if that's going to happen. He might be on his way to Blackburn. But, you know, even if we don't bring anyone in, I think that the starting lineup and our best 11 is probably good enough to pick up enough points. Because remember, we've only got to be better than 3 teams in the league. You know, you don't need to be good enough to get in the top 6. So I think we are good enough. The problem is I don't think we've got the strength in depth to actually, you know, if we do pick up a few injuries to key players, whether we've got enough to keep going. So yeah, it's going to be interesting. And I think, you know, even though we're talking about tomorrow's game, I think all eyes as a Sheffield Wednesday fan is on Saturday's game against Huddersfield.
Yeah, definitely. It's a massive game, and it's a local game as well. So the rivalries there as well. So definitely I'm going to have one eye on that this weekend. Talking about owners again. So what's the current state of Sheffield Wednesday at the moment under Shashiri? Was it Shashiri?
Shashiri, yeah.
Yeah, so we've all obviously seen how he's been operating the football club this season, and from an outsider looking in, it just seems so chaotic, and I would absolutely hate that to happen to my football club, Watford, and you've had to suffer this season. Talk to us about what you've actually had to put up with this season. What's the current state of the club? Just how is it as a Sheffield Wednesday fan at the moment with him at the helm?
Well, he's been here for, I think it was 9 years yesterday, I think it was. And quite frankly, we're in a worse position than what we were when he first came in. We were pretty much, you know, a stable-ish championship club. Obviously, he came in, threw all the money at it. We nearly got to the promised land, that being the Premier League. And then since then, it has just been a bit of a decline, you know, a steady decline or a rapid decline, if you, whichever way you want to look at it. The club's hemorrhaging money left, right and centre. And it is a real sorry state. And this season has been such a roller coaster. It's been unbelievable. I thought last season was bad with the ups and downs kind of on the pitch. But this season off the pitch, it has been chaotic to say the least. You know, the whole getting rid of Darren Moore, bringing Cisco Munoz in. The press conference, which I'm sure you all probably saw, was an absolute car crash when he's calling out, you know, Carlton Palmer, calling him Leighton Palmer, you know, getting a club legend's name totally wrong, which, you know, that's one problem in itself. And, you know, not talking about the current manager you've brought in on his, you know, on his the big day, the big unveiling. So you knew that weren't ever going to go, you know, according to plan. I have to give him credit, though, you know, bringing Danny Rowling, the pedigree that he's got and where he's been and stuff, and the backroom staff, you know, it's not something that I thought would happen. But obviously it has, and that's one massive positive. But then, again, off the pitch with things, the comments that he's made, you know, there was one point, I kid you not, we had a GoFundMe to try and raise money, someone was trying to raise money to pay the tax bill. Like,
is that the £2 million tax bill where he said if every Sheffield Wednesday fan paid £200 or £100, you pay the debt off or something?
That's correct, yeah. So the tax that he should have and collected from, you know, all the profits and things, that's what he was asking fans for. And then he then came out and said that wasn't what he said or what he meant. He was just joking, which again is just absolutely baffling. He came out and said he's not going to put any extra money into the club, but then he sacked Cisco Munoz, brought all the new backroom staff in and Danny Rail, and apparently he's tabled a £2.5 or £2.35 million bid for this guy from the MLS, which, so again, I don't know if we're coming or going, really. He says things that he doesn't mean. He says things that then aren't true either, and it's just a bit chaotic. Season ticket prices have come out yesterday. Got 10 days to get it for the cheapest price, which again is £460 to sit on the cop. People have said, you know, £20 a game, not too bad, but we have only got 10 days to buy it at that price. Then it goes up by £25 and then another £25 another 7 days later. So yeah, it is. It's been quiet since before Christmas. He's not said anything. And it's been great because there's been no club statements, and we've just kind of been able to concentrate on what's been happening on the pitch. But we all knew that January was coming. We all knew that the January transfer window was coming, and we all knew that we needed some players, some reinforcements, and it's not really happened. You know, we're 2 and a bit days away from the transfer window closing, and there's a distinct possibility that we're going to end it having only signed a goalkeeper and a striker that couldn't even get in the Cardiff team. So yeah, it's in terms of the owner and stuff, he's not been winning many people over, I don't think. I want to see him gone, and I want another owner in that can actually has a bit of an idea of how to run a football club. The only problem is, I think that people think, you know, is the grass always greener? There's probably worse owners than Chancery. I don't think there's many, but there probably is. And he's still bankrolling the football club, so you're in a bit of a sticky situation. Whereas whilst he's still paying, you know, to keep the club afloat, you know, the club's still here. If he decided not to, what would happen to the football club? And people are kind of almost like just stay quiet whilst things are just bumbling on. But yeah, I think there is change that needs to happen, because if not, we're just going to be fine. If we've managed to stay up this season, it'll only be the same next season and the following season and the following season. And we're not going to be really, really getting anywhere, to be honest.
It's just a sad state of affairs, really, isn't it? Like, he just seems so unpredictable, a bit hot-headed. And like you say, you can't really trust what he says. He comes out with one statement and goes back on his word saying, oh, I didn't mean it, I was joking. Like, how are you meant to believe anything that he says? And with the season ticket prices you mentioned as well, has that increased from last season? Will it go down, say, if you end up going down to League One? Or
there's been no word on that. My season ticket's gone up £85. I sit on the north stand and mine's now £570. And that is the cheapest that I can get that season ticket, £85 more for potentially League One football next season is, the thing is, he's got you by the danglies, hasn't he? Because, you know, I will be buying my season. I've not done it yet, but I will be getting my season ticket because I enjoy going to the football. It's something that I look forward to. I look forward to every single game. I'm looking forward to tomorrow against Watford. I'll be there on Saturday against Huddersfield. You know, I want to go to watch Sheffield Wednesday play. And it's almost a way of life. And for some people, it's almost like a religion going to the football. So the price could be anything in theory, and people will still pay it. You know, someone who I know, he's got a ticket for himself and his two kids. He's renewed for next season, and he's saying, oh, I'll have to do overtime at work and I'll have to, you know, cut down on going out and stuff so I can afford it. And you shouldn't have to be able to do that, really, just to go to the football. Like, you know, it's almost becoming an elitist sport to follow. I bet it's cheaper to watch, you know, polo or something like that, where, you know, than it is to actually follow your football team, which, again, it should be accessible to all. And football's rapidly not becoming that, you know, that some of the prices you see. I mean, I think our tickets are extortionate, but there's prices elsewhere that are quite eye-watering, to be honest.
No, I totally agree. Something needs to happen where it's more reasonable pricing. I definitely want it more for away games, but home fans as well, they need to get it as well, because, like you say, you'll do anything to go watch your team. You'll find a way of finding that money to pay for your season ticket, and the fans will always be there come the end of the season, 10 years time, 20 years time. Chairmans come and go, but we're the heart blood of our football clubs, and we'll do absolutely anything to be there and put bums on seats. But it's just sad that owners feel like they have to keep putting prices up and not reward fans for their hard work and loyalty over the years. We'll move on to it's not even much better for you because you've already spoken briefly about it, the transfer window. So you've mentioned you've brought in a goalkeeper and a striker. Do you want to talk to us about those two signings?
Yeah, so we had Devis Vazquez on loan from AC Milan. I thought it was quite a decent keeper, but under Danny Rill didn't seem to like him. He's not played once, so he's gone back to AC Milan. And we filled that void with James Beadle, signed him from Brighton on loan. He was at Oxford, playing every single week at Oxford. He was on a season-long loan there. So they've terminated that loan and they've shipped him out to us. He's only 18, I think, 6'6".
Meant to be highly rated, isn't he? I've heard lots of good things about him.
Yeah, he's been having a fantastic season at Oxford so far. Like I said, young goalkeeper, only 18 years old. Sal Bibbo is our goalkeeping coach. He was at Brighton, so you will know everything about James Beadle. So there's no surprise that he's come to us. You know, there's obviously the links there. He didn't play in the first game when we played Southampton and got licked 4-0, but he played against Coventry. We got beat 2-1, and then he was cup tied for the last one against Coventry, so he didn't play in that, but he'll be back. He'll be playing tomorrow because Cameron Dawson has picked up a little injury, so he'll be back between the sticks. And yeah, it's fantastic with his feet. I've heard that, you know, his shot stopping and, you know, coming for crosses perhaps isn't his strong point, which I know sounds mad for a goalkeeper, you know, but you'll see him, he's only slight, and you can tell that he's only an 18 year old, but, you know, his confidence on the ball, which in some ways is more important now for a goalkeeper than actually the shot stopping abilities, which again is crazy to think. He looks composed. You know, we like to play the ball out from the back. We like to start attacks out from the goalkeeper, and obviously he's very much a modern goalkeeper. So yeah, it's great that he's come in. Cameron Dawson had made a few clangers and everything. So you know, good to see we've got a new goalkeeper in. I would probably have preferred someone that's, you know, maybe a bit more established, if I'm being perfectly honest, but I think everyone wants them. You know, it's when you're taking chances with players, and when you're at the bottom of the league, you always think this perhaps not going to go your way. But you know, so far, when we've only seen a small sample size, the two goals he did concede, the first one was an absolute worldie from Ben Shee from the edge of the box, and the second one, he made a fantastic save, but then we didn't get to the second ball, and they just poked it into pretty much an empty net. So it was, you know, it was a bit unlucky with that one, to be perfectly honest. The other one is Ike Ugbo, who we've signed on loan from French side Troyes. He was on loan at Cardiff, again on a season-long loan. That one's been cut short. I think that was mainly more to do with Cardiff. I think they were looking at other transfer targets that they were trying to bring in. So we've picked him up. He scored a couple of goals. I think he scored against us, I think, when we played him at their place earlier on in the season. He's come in. He's not an out and out number nine. He's more of a forward, can play wide. He came off the bench for about 10 minutes in the 2-1 defeat to Coventry. And then he started in the 1-1 draw in the FA Cup. Didn't score, but he hit the post with an effort. You know, he looked bright, looked decent. I'm not sure he's going to be that person that's going to get us 10 or 12 goals this season, because that's something we desperately need. We are like struggling for a striker, as is everyone, I suppose. Really, when you look at it, everyone wants that 20 goal a season striker, and they're like gold dust, aren't they? I'm not sure he's that person. However, you know, the kind of motto at the moment is in role we trust. So, you know, he's brought in a head of recruitment that was at Arsenal and Manchester United of all places. So fingers crossed they've seen something in him, and the signings that we have brought in, you know, hopefully they're going to do the business, but we haven't really seen him as of yet. So look, they're not signings that I've got excited for. I've not been, you know, absolutely buzzing for both of them, but I think we have to be realistic as a football club. We haven't got much money to spend. We've been, you know, shopping in the free and loan market for what seems like forever. The players that we're going to bring in aren't going to be, you know, they're either going to be from the league below and doing half decent, as in James Beadle, or they're going to be from the leagues above that are perhaps out of favour and perhaps not been getting the game time. So we have to be realistic with the players that we're going to bring in. I mean, we have been looking in the MLS, like I said earlier. Duncan Maguire from Orlando is a player that we've been linked with. Obviously, if we do sign him, he's not going to be available to play tomorrow, because he's actually in Mexico at the moment, so he'd have to fly over to get here tomorrow to then sign before, obviously, transfer deadline, Dave. It looks like Blackburn are going to beat us to his signature, to be honest. But it is refreshing that we've tabled a bid of over £2 million, because I think Chancery would have had to do a lot of searching behind the back of the sofa to find that sort of money. But we'll see what happens with that one.
Yeah, definitely. And let's talk about a signing you made in the transfer window in the summer. You've already spoken about him on our last podcast. It's our striker on loan at you, Ashley Fletcher. How's he getting on? Are you still wishing that he didn't get back on that bus?
Yes and no. I'll give him credit where due. Danny Rill seems to like him, because he's been playing quite often, you know, since we played each other. He's not scored yet. He has been getting close. He hit the post against QPR, which we scored after. He's had a few chances. I mean, he hit one with his little toe, and if he hits it with his big toe against Bristol City, that one would have probably gone in as well. Do you know what he does? I can't fault his work rate. I think he's been getting a bit unlucky. He does get a lot of stick. I give him a lot of stick as well, or have done. But like I said earlier, you know, in role we trust. it's one of those that if he keeps choosing him, someone's got to be wrong somewhere. It's either Danny Rill or me or the rest of the fan base. So, you know, Danny Rill's been right on quite a few things so far. Hopefully he's right with Ashley Fletcher. We do seem to, I looked this up actually. Now, it could be a fact that he comes on, you know, normally comes off the bench at around 60, 70 minute mark. But I looked and we actually have the highest XG with him on the pitch than any other player. So from that point of view, it looks like he does have an impact. However, we also have the highest XG against when he's on the pitch as well. So, but like I said, that could probably be due to the fact that he normally plays in the last 15 or 20 minutes of a match when normally there's more chances at that point. So I was initially thinking it could be the Ashley Fletcher effect. It might just be that it's near the end of the game when he comes on, and it could have been anyone, to be honest. So, but he does seem to make things happen. The only thing he doesn't make happen is putting the ball in the back of the net. He should have scored against Coventry at the weekend or Friday night, right at the death. That would have won it, to be honest. And he's just low on confidence. He tried to take a touch. Someone with confidence would have hit it first time and would have scored. He was only 6 yards out. But like I said, he is really low on confidence. I don't think he's scored in about 7 years, I think it is. So it's no surprise that he's not got much confidence, to be honest.
Well, you're not doing us any much hope anyway.
He can't play tomorrow, though, because against his parent club, he's not going to be there tomorrow, is he? Which could be a blessing in disguise, but... Oh, to be fair, you could just say, do you know what? Ashley Fletcher can play because he probably won't score. So you never know.
The thing is, when we signed him, we gave him a 5-year contract, and I think he's got about another 3 years left on that contract. So I don't think we're going to get many suitors in the summer.
Well, we're not going to buy him anyway. Well, you never know. Do you know what? I've said a few times, obviously, we're down near the bottom. You know, we're trying to survive this season. Ashley Fletcher will score one goal this season, and it will be the goal that keeps us up in the Championship, and there will be a statue outside the South Stand of Ashley Fletcher. Maybe not that last bit, but he might, maybe not all of it, to be fair, but, you know, you can live in hope, I guess.
Fantastic. A statue of him scoring off his arse or something outside the stand, that would be brilliant. For everyone who's listening on the audio, Mike has arrived now. Mike is finally here, half an hour into a podcast. Always on time, aren't you, Mike?
I've got a wedding to plan, mate. So a lot of calls at the moment about photographers, videographers, you name it, mate. We've had a Zoom call every night so far, and we've got a few more this week. So, I've got an excuse this time, Ben. I joined at the right time talking about the legend that is Ashley Fletcher. So I'm gutted I missed a big chunk of that, because I can only imagine it was all good stuff. But I just want to, you mentioned he missed a chance on Saturday. Obviously, Saturday you drew 1-1 at home to Coventry City in the FA Cup. What was the performance like on a whole?
Well, you know, a bit like Groundhog Day playing Coventry. We played him on Boxing Day at their place. We played him the week before in the league. Then we played him on the Friday night in the Cup, and we drew. So we've got him again a week tomorrow. So I'm sick of playing Coventry. Do you know what? We made 6 changes. So it sounds like we've kind of rotated the side, but to be honest, the side that we put out was pretty strong. I think, you know, it was a shame that we went a goal down. It was a worldie that Victor Torp scored from about 35 yards. You know, no keepers saving that one, but the defending was a bit shocking, to be honest. So that kind of was a bit disappointing that we'd, you know, done all the hard work and we could have gone in level and kind of gifted him a goal, although it was a great goal, like I said. But we played a lot better in the second half, and I think once we scored the goal, Jedi Gassama got his second goal of the season. I felt like there was only one team that was going to win it. You know, we kind of got the upper hand, and, you know, like I said, Fletcher had a chance right at the end where he could have, you know, could and perhaps should have scored. And we were, yeah, I think on the whole, I think a draw was probably a fair result. I think Coventry are one of the better sides that we've played so far this season, not in terms of their skill level. I just think of the organisation wise, and, you know, especially in the league game, you know, they blocked off every single channel, made it difficult for us to actually get a stranglehold in the game. You know, they didn't particularly press us or anything like that. They just got into the shape quickly and knew where to, you know, where they needed to be in order to stop us from from advancing forward and made it quite difficult for us, even though we were the home side. But yeah, I think, you know, on the whole, like I said, the performance was okay. Again, we've got to realise that we are where we are in the league. You know, we're 23rd at the moment. You know, we're one off the bottom, 6 points adrift, sorry, of safety at the moment. And we're not going to win every single game. And I suppose, you know, our battles aren't really with Coventry. Although saying that, you know, you'd like to think pick up a few points in your home games. But no, I was quite pleased with the performance, let's say.
Yeah, I know obviously it's always on survival this season, but it's a good opportunity to progress in for FA Cup this year. I know you got to get through Coventry first, but Maidstone at home is the draw next. And I know they knocked Ipswich Town out with their only 2 shots on goal and 20% possession. But that must be quite an exciting tie to have if you do advance through past Coventry.
Exciting. Probably not the word I'd use, to be perfectly honest. Nerve-wracking, I think, will be the one, because you'd just be thinking, you don't want to be that team, do you? You know, you don't want to be that team like Ipswich that gets beat by Maidstone. And being a Sheffield Wednesday fan, you just think the writing's on the wall that's going to happen. You know, I don't want to say they've been lucky, but, you know, like I said, Ipswich had a load of shots and they had 2 and they scored. You'd like to think that their luck would run out against whether it's us or Coventry who they play next. But no, you're right in that, you know, it's a massive... I think, you know, if it was a Prem team, then obviously the incentive's there to, you know, to get that kind of money spinner next and have either a good away day or a Prem team coming to Hillsborough. But I suppose the next one, really, in the grand scheme of things, would be the lowest ranked team, so that then you could, you know, progress into what would be the quarters, I think it would be, after that, you know, one step away from Wembley. So yeah, from that point of view, you'd like to think that we'd be able to beat them. But, you know, our only hope is that Coventry have got one eye on the playoffs, because they are in the playoffs at the moment, and they might think, you know, we don't really need another game, because I think against Maidstone, it's going to be attritional. They're going to be, you know, hard tackles flying in, and probably not what they want, probably not what we want either. The only thing we want is a bit of momentum, I guess, and you know, that's what we could get. So yeah, fingers crossed. We're not long to wait. That game's next week, so yeah, the game's coming thick and fast.
Yeah, we've got the same with Southampton as well. We drew with Southampton 1-1, and then we only got announced today that it's next Tuesday, and fans have been trying to find out when we're actually playing them, because obviously we want to book train tickets, find out match prices, and it's complete farce how organised the FA are at times. And like, everyone knew that replays were going to happen at some point in this competition, but why don't you have those set days set out straight away, saying, okay, if you draw the fourth round tie, the replay will be on this date prior to the game. I don't know why they've taken 3-4 days to sort it all out. It's absolutely,
to be honest, for me, replays should be scrapped, in my opinion. Or what you could do is have a bit of an agreement before the game, speak to both managers, do you want a replay or not? You know, in our case with Coventry, now we've just got a penalties, you know, not bothered. Obviously, Ipswich against Maidstone, Ipswich will probably say, no, we don't want one. Maidstone will say, yes, we 100% do. So I think in that case, they have a replay. But those that don't need it, they stop all the whinging in the moaning. Because realistically, you know, I'm sure you didn't really want a replay against Southampton. Neither do we want a replay against Coventry. Like I said, the fourth time we've played them in about 6 weeks. It's funny, actually, because last season we played Fleetwood in the fourth round. We played Fleetwood on Boxing Day. We played Fleetwood on the 20th of January. Then we played them in the FA Cup the week after, and then we drew with them and played them in the, you know, 2 weeks later in a replay. And that is exactly the same with Coventry. It's literally deja vu. We've done exactly the same, which is mad to have done that. And yeah, just like Fleetwood, I'm sick of playing Coventry.
It's interesting you say, actually, about having the replay scrapped. My boss has got a good idea. He says they should do it so both teams just split the revenue regardless of who's home and away, because the big pull at the moment, obviously, if you're a small team like Maidstone and you You know, you get Manchester United at home, your gate receipt's going to be massive and the TV money, etc. But if they just say, right, this is a part, split it evenly between the teams in said round, then there's none of that nonsense. So anyway, enough of the FA Cup. Turn our attention to tomorrow. Who would you say your player, who do Watford need to sort of look out for, the player of the moment at the moment for Sheffield Wednesday? I mean, I would imagine it's probably Bannon. That would be mine, because Bannon's, you know, very, very good player. But who would you say the Sheffield Wednesday player to look out for is?
Yeah, I think Bannon is a good shout. I think as a Sheffield Wednesday fan, I know it sounds really bad, but we've got kind of just so used to how good Barry Bannon is that you know, and he set the bar so high that you come to expect that from him every single week. And when he's not on a, you know, an 8 or a 9 out of 10, you know, he might only be performing at what is perceived to him as being a 7. You know, it's like he's having a really poor game, when in actual fact he's still outperforming most of the players. Everyone knows about Barry Bannon, so I'm not going to talk about him. Jedi Gassama is one that you need to look out for. Like I say, he scored against Coventry, second goal of the season. He's one that he came from Paris Saint-Germain in the summer. You know, I don't think he didn't play a senior game for them, but he came through their youth ranks. So, you know, he must have something about him if he's come from there. One of the signings that Sisco made, under Sisco, he was poor. He's not the finished article by any stretch. I think he's having 19, or I think he might have turned 20 years old now. So he's still only young. He's someone, you know, he can be speedboat, no driver sometimes. He's got a lot of pace, but he's not quite got that end product all of the time. But then again, if he did, he wouldn't be turning out for Sheffield Wednesday. You know, he would be playing in the Premier League or for Paris Saint-Germain in their first team. So you have got to apply a bit of kind of realism to the whole thing and everything, and cut him a little bit of slack. But he's one of those players that he gets bums off seats. He's quick. We were crying out for pace. We had no pace in that side that got, you know, beat Barnsley in the playoff final last season. It was crying out for youth and pace, and we brought that in. And he's one of those that, you know, when he gets on the ball, a criticism of his is he tries to beat someone just too many times. He'll beat him twice, and he'll try and beat him three times when sometimes he, you know, and he does need to get his head up a little bit and play that pass. However, having said that, you know, he has got that ability to pick the ball up and really drive. I mean, he scored a goal against Coventry, but he had about five or six shots, and he could have scored a couple, to be fair, if he was a little bit more lucky with some of the efforts that he had. So he's certainly one to look out for. We've got another player very similar to him in Anthony Mesaba. He came from Monaco in the summer. They are, you know, very alike. He played with Ike Ugbo, who we signed on loan. This is Mesaba, that is, when they played in Belgium together. So they have got that connection there. Masaba's been a little bit off the boil. He was probably better more when Danny Rill first came in, and him and Gassama have kind of switched. But we have been playing both of them, one on one side and one on the other. So, you know, when they both get on the ball, they can really terrorise the defences. They're not one to get to the byline and cross it in. They're more, you know, cutting on the, you know, they'll cut inside and take a shot on and everything. So, yeah, they're two that I would definitely watch out for. And, they could cause you some problems.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it tomorrow. There's a few Wednesday players that I like. Obviously, George Byers, I've got a soft spot for. Obviously, came through Watford's academy. I think Marvin Johnson, I see him doing quite well as well. And obviously, Barry Bannon, everyone knows about his quality that he brings. There is decent players in the Sheffield Wednesday side. You've got Windass as well, who crops up with goals and obviously got that fantastic goal in a playoff final as well. Looking at tomorrow's night's team, though, what would your predicted Sheffield Wednesday team be for tomorrow? Like, what team do you think Danny Rowe's going to select?
Yeah, well, obviously, I think it's going to be James Beadle in goal. He's coming back from, you know, he was cup tied in the game against Coventry, so he'll probably start. Michael Ahekwa and Deshaun Bernard will probably be the two centre backs. He did have Bambo Diaby, but he picked up a red card, and he's not been, you know, he's not been great so far this season. You mentioned Marvin Johnson. He'll probably play on the left. Frozen out by Cisco Munoz, but since Danny Rill's come in and he's put him in the side, he's been great. You know, most of our chances created have come from Marvin Johnson crossing the ball in, and you know, just not being able to convert some of them as of yet. But yeah, he'll be playing on the left.
He's got a few goals as well, hasn't he, since he's came back into the side as well?
Yeah, I think he's picked up 3 goals so far this season. So yeah, he's a dab hand at that as well. At right back, it's going to either be Paul Valentin or Liam Palmer. Liam Palmer played as like a defensive midfielder at the weekend, but I don't think that's his best position. But Danny Rill's been, you know, preferring Paul Valentin on the right hand side. He's not great defensively, but he's quick and he can get forward. And we have, you know, it is almost being kind of like more attack than defence at times for us. So I'm going to say Paul Valentin at right back. In the middle, I'm probably going to say Barry Bannon. And I think Will Volks is probably going to partner him, or maybe Momo Diaby. Undecided on that one. I'd probably prefer Will Volks, if I'm being perfectly honest, just to give us a bit more solidity, I guess. Momo's not played a lot this season, although, you know, he has kind of shown a bit of promise when he's come in. And then I'd probably say it's going to be Gassama on the left of like a front three behind the striker. Windass playing in the 10 through the middle, and then I'd have Gassama on the other side. So Masaba on one and Gassama on the other. And then I think leading the line, it's got to be Bailey Cadamartri. I think he's scored 3 goals this season. He hasn't scored in a few weeks, though, so he has gone off the boil a little bit. But yeah, I think with Windass in that 10 and helping him, I think he'll do quite well. I've not put Ike Ugbo in there. He could play instead of maybe Masaba, but I'm not quite sure. We haven't really got a best 11, so to speak, or certainly Danny Rill's not just stuck with the same side. He'll make changes after, you know, quite a lot of changes each week. Sometimes that's based on the team that we're coming up against. Other times it's just him trying a few things. I mean, he put our centre-back in at defensive mid against Southampton, and that was an absolute car crash, to be honest. I don't think he's going to be doing that one anytime soon. It's probably the only mistake that Danny Rill's made, you know, since he's been in there, and, you know, which is not too bad, I guess. But yeah, it's mad as well. Under Darren Moore, people were playing hell at Darren Moore tinkering with the team. Under Danny Rill, it seems to be accepted, you know, changing the team every single week. But I suppose that's just how things are at times. And he's, you know, like I said, everyone loves Danny Rill, so he could do anything. He can do no wrong as far as the Sheffield Wednesday fans are concerned.
Yeah, no, it does seem exciting under Danny Rill at the moment. It keeps you on your toes with team selections as well. So, final question, James, before we let you go. Score prediction for tomorrow?
I think there's going to be goals. Well, I think is it 14 games that you've not kept a clean sheet for or something? But I think it's also
something like that,
the same number of games that you've scored in every single game so far. Probably going to be nil-nil, isn't it, really, based on that? You know? I think I've gone with a 2-1 win to Sheffield Wednesday. I can't come here and say that we're going to get beat. No. I think, you know, you are doing better than what you were doing at the start of the season. I guess you had a bit of a tough start, and I don't think it's going to be easy. Having said that, you know, we are at home. We are better at home than we are on the road. You know, there's going to be 20,000 fans there tomorrow night. We're desperate to get back to winning ways, having not won in the last 3 games in all competitions, you know. So, yeah, and with Huddersfield on the horizon and them slipping up, you know, it should be, we should be looking to get a win. So I'm going to go 2-1.
Fantastic. 2-1 Wednesday for James. Mike, I'll come to you and your cat. Score prediction.
I didn't know you could see. Apologies. Do you know what? I think it's going to be a real tight game. It's not going to be one which is, you know, it's not going to be remembered for years. Let's put it that way. But
time we played Sheffield Wednesday at Hillsborough was 0-0 as well, Mike.
Yeah. I just think that that was in the lockdown season, I think. Wasn't it the second game of the season or something?
Something like that.
Yeah, I think it was.
Under Vladimir Ivic.
Yes, it was, yeah. I just worry. Well, no, sorry, I don't worry. Completely the opposite. I just think away from home now, that worry isn't there. I know that we're going to be able to put a performance away from home, which has been a real stickler of Watford's for the last three, four seasons, however far back you want to go. So if, you know, like I've said on the podcast before, if we go a goal down, I don't automatically worry and think, right, how many is it going to be today then? But I think as cliche as it sounds, I think the first goal is really important tomorrow. But I think there's going to be one goal that decides it. And as James rightly pointed out, the last time that we got a clean sheet was 14 or however many games ago.
Rotherham, I think it was.
Yeah, it was Rotherham. I can't remember the date, though. I want to say October or November. I could be wrong. My cat's about to jump in front of the laptop, so I'll wrap up quite quick. It's knocking stuff over now. I think I'll go
11th of November it was, mate.
There you go. I'll go 1-0 Watford, but it's going to be a scrappy game. And, I think Jake Livermore will score.
Oh, Jake Livermore.
What about you, Ben? Consistent.
Same as you, I feel more comfortable with us playing away from home than we actually do at home lately. And that's strange saying that, because normally we're comfortable at home and awful away from home. Still take us back to October when we went to Swansea away, and it was nearly a whole calendar year since we won an away game. And since then, we've won 5-6 away games, and we look really good away from home. So that's the Val effect this season, and playing with a consistent starting 11 as well has worked wonders for us. So I think if we are serious about challenging for the playoffs, I think we have to go to Sheffield Wednesday and win. Saying that, Sheffield Wednesday are on a great run of form, and they've just picked up a lot of points lately under Danny Rowe. And I think it's going to be harder than a lot of people would think. So I think it will end a draw. I'm going to go for a 2-2 draw. Go for a Desmond. So, I think it's just going to be difficult, isn't it, Mike? So three different scorelines there. 2-1 Sheffield Wednesday with James. I've gone for a 2-2. And then, Mike, I totally forgot what you said, mate.
1-0. I said 1-0 Watford, which I think is even more imperative, because at the moment, as we record, Coventry are drawing with Bristol City. So if Coventry win, that gap sort of opens up even more. Like you say, if we want to, you know, pardon the expression, but if we want to sneak through the back doors of the playoffs, then we really need to pick up 3 points tomorrow at Hillsborough.
Yeah, Joe, as well, if it finished 2-2, like you said, Ben, or a draw, I would take that now, to be honest. Whenever I say this on our podcast, people come out and say, oh, you can't play for the draw. And it's not me saying I would play for the draw. Obviously, we want to go for the win. But if you said to me that, you know, you're going to walk out of there and it's going to be 0-0, 1-1, 2-2 or whatever, I'd be like, I will happily, you know, I won't be disappointed. All right. If we absolutely battered you and we're 2-0 up and we concede two late goals, it might be a different story. But on the face of it, you know, taking a point at home against Watford, having looking forward to Huddersfield on Saturday, it won't be, you know, it's not the end of the world. I think when you're down at the bottom, you just got to keep picking points up. Obviously, picking points up and wins where you can. But if you can keep like get a bit of an unbeaten run going, which, you know, we've lost those last two in the league, so we need to kind of get back on that horse again. Then it's gonna help things. So yeah, I would happily take any sort of draw tomorrow and take the point and move on to the next game.
Yeah, it's gonna be a busy week for Sheffield Wednesday. Like you say, two big games, tough games as well. Watford at home, Huddersfield away Saturday, which is absolutely massive. So all eyes will be on that fixture this Saturday as well. But James, thank you very much for joining us tonight. Really do appreciate it. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your insight on Sheffield Wednesday, and I wish you all the best for the rest of the season, and I hope we get to speak to you again next season.
Fingers crossed, mate, and thanks for having me.
Nice one. Cheers, James. Thank you very much.
Cheers.
Cheers. Mike, that was great to have James on as always. We won't talk too much about the game now, because concerned about the time that we've got everyone here. But very quickly, Sheffield Wednesday, it's obviously going to be a very difficult game for Watford. And like James says, it's just about picking up points for teams at the bottom. But we need to kick on, don't we? We need to put pressure on that teams above. And Sheffield Wednesday, you've really got to go to that kind of opposition. And you've got to start on the front foot and you've got to attack them. And you've got to put pressure on them and just go full throttle, I think. I think you've got to turn it on at Sheffield Wednesday.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we've been quite fortunate the last few away results. You know, we've picked up the point or a point, and we've perhaps not been at our best. QPR, we absolutely weren't at our best, but won. Bristol City, bit of a naff performance and come away with a point. And, you know, it's frustrating because you look at that first half against Southampton and that, I mean, I listened to it because I was on the way back from football myself, and it was on BBC Radio 5 Live, and I mean, Cam, Katie, everyone that was there that we spoke to said it was probably one of the best first half performances they've seen from a Watford side for a long, long time. So we know that the performance levels are there. It's just getting them out of it consistently. So yeah, absolutely. Tomorrow could be a potential banana skin. They're fighting for their life, you know, business end of the season now. And, you know, they'll want to pick up the points just as much as we do. And like I've pointed out, Coventry are drawing at the moment. That gap could be 5 points come the end of tonight. So, you know, it's going to be tough. But to be honest, I really wouldn't mind if we come out of there scrapping and we get a 1-0 win and it's a scrappy game. I'm not that bothered. Sometimes you have to really scrap results out in this league. Yeah. But I would quite like to see more wholesome performance, because I think away from home especially, I know I've just said about the results, but the performances haven't quite been there for a while. So, and I think there's a few people that have got sort of a reason to step up now. I'd be quite interested to see how much game time Dennis gets. It'd be quite interesting to see if Pollock can continue and even start after his brilliant game against Southampton on Sunday. And, you know, Ken Semmer's back from injury. Matthias Martins, where will he fit in now with Dennis coming in? Yasser Asprilla. So, you know, there's people about that will think, right, I really need to show the boss that I should be starting, and hopefully we can work that in our favour. But, yeah, big game. And I don't know why. I sort of worry when we go to places like this, and it's a big stadium.
Games really, aren't they? Like,
yeah.
I think fans underestimate the teams at the bottom when obviously they're fighting for their life. So I think fans think, oh, it's just Sheffield Wednesday. Just roll up, play a bit of football, go home with 3 points. But it doesn't work like that, does it, Mike? It's going to be a pull up your sleeves. Like, this is a perfect game for Jake Livermore to rally the troops and make sure that they're on it from the start.
Absolutely. And this is why Jake is such an important person in the squad, because he's got that experience. He'll have played a game like this hundreds of times. He'll know that sometimes you go, you put on a show, you play fantastic football, happy days, everyone goes home happy. And then there'll be games where, bloody hell, that was a bit of a close call, but we got the 3 points. We really scrapped to the death there. And he's the one that sort of knows that difference. And Ben Hamer as well. You know, there's a reason he's in the leadership group. So, yeah, you know, I just don't want us to, like you say, go to Sheffield Wednesday, underestimate them, and they come away with the 3 points. I don't expect for 1 minute it to be a sellout, but even if they get a half-decent crowd in, I always worry about going to a big stadium, you know, when we're away from home. Maybe the home crowd are up for it. And I do worry about us in that situation, but hopefully we don't have to worry about that. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see, because we've got, I think I read, is it 6 games in 17 days? And yeah, it's going to be interesting to say the least.
Yeah, it's a busy schedule for the Hornets now. I know it's definitely 3 games in 7 days, isn't it? It's obviously Sheffield Wednesday, Wednesday, Saturday's Cardiff City at home, then Tuesday it's Southampton away in the FA Cup 4th round replay, which we could have definitely done without, because yeah, like you say, do you reckon that, because obviously we didn't do the podcast the other night, I'm absolutely loving the third voice of Vic.
We either bought a kitten or a parrot, one of the two. So,
yeah, we obviously didn't do the review of the Southampton game the other day, so we've not really spoken about it. But do you reckon that word got out that we had Liverpool in the next round, and there was just like, that one was like, sod this, I'll just let it in at the near post.
I felt a bit sorry for Batman, because from what I heard and what I saw of the game, because I watched the last sort of half an hour, and he had a relatively good game, you know. We were at the Chesterfield game, and he had quite a few shaky moments, and you could see his confidence was really low. But yeah, I think he had a decent game against Southampton. So when that draw come through and it was Liverpool, I never want Watford to lose. Of course I don't. Mm. But I couldn't be asked as much, and I thought, you know what, if we do concede, it might not be the worst thing in the world. And yeah, we could really do without the replay. And I mean, I know we won at Southampton in the dreaded Premier League season a few seasons ago, but we tend to never really do well at Southampton. So I can't imagine we'll go there and win on a Tuesday night when we'll probably put a second string side out. So let them have it, and we'll focus on the league.
Yeah, priorities this season is having a stable season and try to push on to the playoffs. Obviously, transfer window shuts on Thursday, the day after the Sheffield Wednesday game. Will Watford bring anyone in? We are going to keep our eyes firmly peeled on it. But Val did say today that no senior players will be leaving Watford. And then Matty Pollock came out and said that he's happy to be at Watford, and he wants the opportunity, and he's glad that he's, after Sunday's performance against Southampton, he's glad that he's put that Millwall away performance at the back of his head now, because it has given him sleepless nights. So I'm pleased that Matty Pollock has came out and said that he's happy to stay at Watford, and he's going to keep on working hard to get his opportunities, because I do think he's going to get more minutes this season, which is good to see. But yeah, thank you everyone for watching tonight. I do really appreciate it. Mike appreciates it. Mike's kitten appreciates it. So if you like the video, hit that like button, hit that subscribe button as well, and get down into the comments as well. Let us know what your starting lineup would be for tomorrow evening against Sheffield Wednesday. Let us know if you think we need to make one or two transfers, who you think we should maybe go after. Just let all your feelings out in the comments below, and we'll read them all and comment back to you. So yeah, thank you everyone for watching tonight, and we will be back. I don't know when we'll be back. It's a busy schedule for ourselves as well, but we'll definitely be back with Cardiff. We'll try something for the Sheffield Wednesday review. If not, we'll definitely be back this weekend for Cardiff. So keep your eyes peeled on all the social media stuff, and we'll see you soon. Come on, you ones.
Sports Social Podcast Network.